traveling the world, searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen. It's that time again. It's Friday afternoon. We're going to start talking about horses and all the things that we can be doing here on the International Equine Network. We got a lot of things coming up this weekend. And I was really surprised at the racing, how much the racing has improved over the last 2 months. Got a lot of big things going on this weekend. I was really surprised at the Saratoga meet. The Saratoga meet is just going unbelievable. I'm telling you, you know, we've got Safi Joseph Jr. He's up there. He's winning right and left like there's no tomorrow, doing real good. And you know, he wasn't a Saratoga guy, but I think he is now, that's for sure. So, you know, what I'm looking at is you know, the Del Mar meet coming up. Then we got the Keeneland meet coming up. We got a little bit of everybody coming up here. And I was really surprised to see how many people are coming out to the racetrack now. We got tons of people coming out, people that you've never seen before out at the track. You know, it's just amazing to see what all's going on. And the odd part about it is it's all carrying over into like the show horses and polo and you name it. It's going right to it. And you know, I've been saying this for a long time. We need to get more distribution of our information, our equine information out there. And it's just amazing once you start doing that, how much it goes. Now, I'll give you a good example on our website that I have, at intv.org. We started printing out, and publishing some things, here from Sunshine Meadows. We are an official hurricane station. For the state of Florida. So that means whenever a hurricane comes into Florida or comes to our way, you come into our facility and we will, you know, house your horse in a safe concrete box building. I mean, we got everything here you need. We got water. We got the feed. We got, you name it, we got it. You know, so your horse will not go without, you know, what he needs. You got to bring your groom. You got to come down and do a lot of things, you know, to help yourself is what you got to do. But it's worth it. You know, it's really worth it. So it's about information distribution. So that's, you can come to me at intv.org, and we can get you in the right direction in case of a hurricane. And there's a lot of facilities all throughout the state of Florida, that, you know, the hurricane, which is hurricane season now, that you can go to. And also, you know, that's where we're at with that. But like I said, it's all about information and distribution. Like today, for example, we got Saratoga Live. It's on our website. You're doing very, very good at Saratoga. I was really surprised this year at how much we had coming to watch Saratoga this year. Just unbelievable, you know. And that's the whole thing about it is now you know where to go. You come to us, and we'll tell you how to get there and what to do and what to watch. You know, it's just a really good one. You know, one of the things that we have up here, and we're suggesting that people do, is you go out to visit a farm. And this week, we've got our Equine Business of the Week. It's, you can take a virtual tour of Spendthrift Farm. You can see all the champions. You can see the history and hear the history of Saratoga. I mean, Spendthrift Farm. How many horses they get up to Saratoga every year to run as two-year-olds. You know, it's a tremendous farm. It's right there in Lexington, and they've got tours of it. You'll be able to go out and see the tours every week, you know, and I mean, it's really good. Then we have a person that's unbelievable. She's our equestrian of the week. Her name is Jane Lyon. She owned a horse called Flightline, and Flightline must might have been the best horse ever to run on a racetrack. Every time he ran, it was just devastating. He dominated everything. And she goes through and she tells how Flightline changed her life. That's our equestrian of the week, Jane Lyon. A real nice little piece there that we have, which is, you know, what this business is all about. It's, you know, unfortunately, we didn't know what Flightline was going to be before when he was a 2-year-old. You know, but now we do know what he is, and it's easy to backtrack and talk about what he did and how he did it, you know, and how she got the horse and, you know, how they campaigned the horse. And that's the interesting things that we like to do is get that equine information out there. And you know, it's, I tell you, the lady, she's still shell-shocked about, you know, Flightline. Every time she talks about it, she says, you know, I just don't know. You know, we don't know why it happened or how it happened, but it happened, you know, which is really good for that. And also, but, you know, this is summertime. Saratoga's going. Del Mar's going. Soon we'll have, the fall will be here in another 30 days. Then we'll have Keeneland will be open. Churchill will be open. You know, it's just amazing how fast the season's going. We got a lot of prep races up at Saratoga now that are going to be, winning your end for the Breeders' Cup. We got, out at Del Mar this weekend. We've got a good stakes card out there. That's going to be really good to see. You can come to intv.org and you can see that. And then we got a great stakes weekend coming up at Saratoga. And I hate to keep talking about Saratoga all the time, but let me tell you something. Saratoga is the place to be right now. You know, they've got any and everything up there. The crowds are good. They've really outdone themselves this year. I was really surprised at all the different things that they've done, you know, to get Saratoga ready for the meet. I'm telling you, they got a deal up there now that, in fact, a friend of mine was just complaining about this morning, when I drove by. He's going to Saratoga in 2 weeks. And so I asked him, I said, hey, I said, you ready for Saratoga, your annual trip to Saratoga? He goes, oh, I don't know about that. I said, what do you mean you don't know about it? You've been going for years and you don't know about it. He said, well, they got a new thing up there. And I said, what's your problem now? I said, can we help you with it? He says, no, not really. I said, what do you mean, not really? He said, I can fix anything. He said, Scotty, he said, this is what they've done at Saratoga. He said, used to, when you go to Saratoga, everybody would line up early in the morning at the gate to get in. You pay your money and you get in, and then you just run to the picnic area, to the tables, to all the seating, and whoever got there first got that table, got that seat or what have you. And he told me, he said, now, he said, you got to buy the picnic tables. You got to go in, and I think he said they're like $100, and it's like 5 or 6 people can sit at it, you know. And he said, so they got one right up front where they normally go, you know. And he said, but that's part of the fun is going through the turnstiles and running to your table and, you know, getting to see who could get where and get what. And also that's one of the things that have changed. But other than that, you know, everything is pretty good at Saratoga. The racing is just unbelievable. You got the Racing Hall of Fame right there. You know, you got a little bit of everything, and it's all right there at Saratoga. And the thing that's got me confused now and all in a tizzy, as they say, as my mom would say, they haven't got the information out to us like they should have. The press releases were few and far between. They did a great job on the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. I mean, nobody complained about that. None whatsoever. And so that was good. But as far as the day-to-day thing up there, that was the tough part, you know, to get into. And so now, you know, I'm finding out more and more that the things that they're trying to do. And the picnic table thing is good. And they've done kind of like the same thing at Churchill. But at Churchill, they did a real good marketing plan. They did real good with that. they sent out letters and information on how much the seating was at, you know, where it was at, what days were available. You know, they did the whole nine yards, and they did an excellent, excellent, you know, pre-plan for going to the races at Churchill. And that really helps. And Pimlico's done the same thing. Of course, Belmont was at Saratoga this year, and it'll be again at Saratoga next year. And that really went smooth. And let me tell you, if next year, I don't think they can do any better next year than they did this year at Saratoga for the Belmont. A lot of people stayed in town, and all the information was out there. But that's where we're having a lot of problems now in the business with just about with everything. And that's, you know, finding out, hey, you know, where do I get this information? And what we try to do here is we try to get all the information that we can out. And on our website here, we've got hotels, we got airplanes, cars, you know, everything that you need to know to go to the races. You know, we have that on the website. You know, and that's really important to me, is to get everybody out here and get them, you know, involved into the horse business. You know, that's like tomorrow. We've got the UK, we got Ascot Racing Live tomorrow. And, you know, let me tell you, it's crystal clear. The programming and the feed is really good from the UK. We're going to have 8 races tomorrow. They're going to be showing live. You got to join in and see what all's there. We're also going to have racing from Hong Kong, and we'll have racing from Europe. And that's tomorrow, and it starts early tomorrow. You know, it's something that you really need to come in and see. It's like an 8 o'clock air time for us there. But you can do that. And, you know, I'm telling you, it's really, really, really good business here in the United States. If you're a young person and you're thinking about getting into a profession, the horse business is the place to go. And the reason I'm telling you this is because we need a lot of good workers out there. You can get into management. You can get into working on the backside with the horses, get into marketing. Marketing is really wide open in the horse business now. A lot of job openings there. There's all kinds of things that you can get into, get involved with. And the pay is good. You got good retirement programs. You know, it's really good. And it would suggest that if you're looking for a job, call us here at IEMTV.org at 561-690-8813. And we'll tell you exactly where, you know, where it's all going on, you know, and who's hiring. For example, Churchill Downs is hiring for the fall meet. It's a temporary job, but you know, if you get hired on in the fall, then they'll keep you around next year for the Derby. And you got to think about a lot of these jobs that you get, and there are the benefits that come along with them, like going to the Derby and, you know, that type of thing. You know what you're looking at out there. And Del Mar is the same way out in California. Same thing in Canada at Woodbine. You know, there's plenty of jobs out there. It's just finding the people to get in there too. You know, and that's what we're trying to figure out here today. Trying to look at, see if we had anybody publish any. No, we don't. Nobody sent us anything yet today. But I would check, you know, with Churchill, Gulfstream Park, Tampa Bay Downs, you know, all the different ones like that, so see what they have. But other than that, you know, and the horse business is doing good. The shows are going well in Lexington. Polo is going well in Wellington. At Tryon in North Carolina, at the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, and even WEF down here, here in Palm Beach County, our summer program has got a lot more horses than we normally have had here, and that's really unusual, you know, for us. Like I said, Tryon's doing very well. Devon in Pennsylvania, they're doing very well. Michigan, they're doing good. There's just so many places, you know, that are doing good. And you need to get out and see them, because they're stepping up the quality of their programming. You know, we're kind of excited about some of the programs that are coming up here for us. There's a little thing that I've got that we're going to be doing today. I contacted the people at the Thoroughbred Alliance, at the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. It's really a program that's, you know, going to be good. They take care of a lot of horses, and they help horses do their thing after the racing end of it. And that's one thing that, you know, that people really don't think about. You know, it's all the things that the horses do afterwards and everything. And Saturday, for example, we got the Jim Dandy Stakes. It comes on 3 to 6 p.m. It'll be here on IENTV.org. The Jim Dandy is a tremendous prep race for the Traverse Stakes that's coming up at the end of August. And it's a six-horse field, and you got some of the top horses from the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont there. You got Seas de Grey is in there. Fierceness is going to make his return to racing. He's probably one of the best horses we've seen in a long time, but he just has a hard time putting, you know, a good race together. He'll run, you know, two fantastic races, and then you can't find him after that. And that's the Jim Dandy at between 3 and 6 o'clock on INTV.org. It'll be in there. Then a week later, we got the Whitney Stakes, 3 to 6 p.m. from Saratoga. Then Saturday, August 10th, we have the four-star Dave Handicap from Saratoga. Then we have the Alabama Stakes coming up August 17th. And followed up by August 24th, the Traverse Stakes. And that's some of the best racing in the country that you'll see. You know, it's a tremendous meet. Del Mar is going on good. They're doing very, very good. They got the Bing Crosby up there this weekend. You know, they got a little bit of everything, you know, that they have there. And so we're just trying to, you know, get as much information out as we possibly can, you know, about what we're doing. Got some good sales coming up here this year. A lot of these horses that you'll see running today are doing very, very well. I was surprised at some of these stallions that we have out here and what they're doing and how they're doing. You know, it's just, it's scary. To be honest with you, it's scary to see what they're doing and how they're doing it. I was amazed how fast these horses are getting out here and doing what they do. You know, it was just, you know, the return on the money from the yearlings and that were bought was unbelievable. And the two-year-old in training sales, those are the ones that where they're coming out, you know, that were good. Back on June 26th, we had a Breeze Day. It's a Mid-Atlantic sale, and we've already had two horses that came out of that sale on June 26th that broke their maiden right off the bat. And so, you know, that was a pretty good return for an owner that, you know, invested into, you know, a horse out of the training sales and then turn around, you know, 30 days later, you know, and he's made a good chunk of his money back, which is good. So our next sale coming up, which you can see here, on INTV.org will be in August. And it's kind of shows you kind of like what they do at Saratoga. They got so much going on at Saratoga. It's the Saratoga sale. It's, and you can see the catalog online with us. The sale date is August 5th and 6th. And it's a good sale. And if you're out going up to Saratoga to visit, what's nice is you can go to the races that day, and then that night you can go walk right across the street to the sales pavilion and see the Hall of Fame, and then you can go watch the sales. It's free to get into, and you're more than welcome to come in, you know, to see that and everything. That's August 5th and 6th. And then on August 12th in New York, we have the New York Breds. It's a yearling sale. And, that's always a good sale to go to. You see the potential Derby runners eventually. Certainly, there'll be two-year-old in training, you know, just 4 months later. So that's pretty good. That's August 11th and 12th. And then September 24th in California, we have the California Yearly and Horses of Racing Age sale. That's really a good sale, I'm telling you. It is a good sale. Then, let's see, we've got October 15th, the Saratoga Fall Sale in New York. That's a pretty good sale. Then we get down to Kentucky for the Kentucky October Yearling Sales. And then the November sales, which is really good at Keeneland. Yeah, it's a great sale. It's a mixed sale, and you literally can get any and everything you might want there at that sale. You can get brood mares, you can get horses that are ready to ride, horses that are in training. You got everything there at that sale. I really like that sale and everything. So can do that. And then, you know, I tell you, the business is getting so competitive. For example, we've got a thing now called the National Thoroughbred League. And it's a series of races, and they kind of like get teams together from different parts of the country, and they put them all together, and then they have like a football schedule or a basketball schedule where they go and they race at the different tracks, and then at the end of the year, the horse with the most wins and most points, you know, is the champion. And that's pretty good. And what I like about it is it pits regional horses against each other. It's really, really a pretty good deal, you know, that they have there with that. So we're always trying to do something new and upcoming, you know, here in our business. And speaking of new and upcoming things, I'm going to talk to you a little bit here about what we're doing here at IEN. I've got a lot of people that I've been working with over the last few days, in the last couple of months, BBS being one of them, to get out our distribution of our information. And the reason I went with BBS is because they go to so many different places, you know, and it's, they go literally to just about every country that there is that has a station, you know, in there, whether it's podcast or, you know, TV or what have you. And that's one of the reasons I went with them, because they have so many things that they do. And so I started thinking about the people that I surround myself by. The people have to be multi-talented. They got to have the vision, and they got to have the drive and the hard work to do what we're doing. And I'm also looking for people that have good ideas, that are coming up with new ideas and things to do in the business, because the variety is what really sells our business. And just to prove that point, when they first started the Breeders' Cup, everybody said it wouldn't go, and they kind of explained how it would happen. They'd have a series of races throughout the year, and those races would lead up to the Breeders' Cup Championship. And we would have a Breeders' Cup champion in every division, including steeplechasing. And so, people say, oh, well, you know, they don't know about that. So they devised a plan and a series of races to run in to qualify you for the Breeders' Cup in November. And now they've got a thing called When and You're In. And if you win specific races identified by the Breeders' Cup, then you're automatically into the Breeders' Cup. And there's a lot of incentives. They'll pay your way to get your horse there. They pay you extra money. You know, they just try to get as many horses as they can, you know, good horses to the Breeders' Cup. And so that's been very successful. And now we're going to have Del Mar's going to have the Breeders' Cup this year. Very excellent facility to go to in California. Everybody loves Del Mar, you know, and we're looking for good things that'll happen. Of course, the Breeders' Cup rotates from track to track to track across the country, and it makes it nice, you know, to bring those kind of people into play. But again, it's all about getting new people in to see the horse racing, and it's also important to satisfy the people that are already fans with, you know, the things that they need to have, like good facilities, good food, good prices, you know, quality horses, you know, that type of thing. So the Breeders' Cup kind of did that. And then they had what they called the Claiming Crown Challenge. They would take horses that were up for claiming prices, and any horse that was in a claimer was allowed to go for, you know, the Claiming Crown Champion. And, you know, it just worked out really well because it gave the lower tier horses, you know, that aren't your stake horses and your big race horses, it gave them something to shoot for. So all of a sudden now we're just, you know, inundated with all kinds of horses that have been running in claiming races and that type of thing. And that was good. So now, you know, we're expanding the business. We're developing it, you know, and making it go. And so now we have a thing in the thoroughbred end of it. What I like about it is they have horses that have ran for a claiming tag of X number of dollars. And so they kind of categorize them, and they get horses at a competitive level, you know, that are of their own kind, of their own price range. And so, you know, I like that, you know, that they are doing that. But the whole nine yards is getting to the track, getting out and seeing what all they have. Churchill Downs has got a great museum that you can go to. It's really good. You can spend the day at the races, and then you can go to the museum, you know, the next day. And it's really a good family entertainment type thing that you can see. And it tells you in and everything about it. The Hall of Fame's at Saratoga. That is really, really an excellent, you know, that's, you could spend the whole day there and really enjoy it because you're right there at the track across the street from the track. And then, of course, you know, you go out to Del Mar, out of Del Mar, as they say, by the beautiful sea, Del Mar is the place to be. And they've got a good entertainment there. And of course, it's in Hollywood style. You know, that's what I like about Del Mar. It's a show. They put on a show for you out there. You know, and you get to see a lot of celebrities, and you get to do a lot of things. It's right there, right by the ocean, where the surf meets the turf. And, I mean, I tell you, you got to go. And then, of course, you know, we come back, and, you know, we got, like I said, Saratoga, Baltimore, and Maryland. Maryland racing is getting excellent. They're getting very, very good at what they do. And they've got a lot of good horse shows there in the summer and the fall. They got a lot of aftercare, the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance Association approves a lot of their shows. It's really good. You know, it's just amazing, you know, what they do, like in Maryland. Hey, Delaware's got some good racing in it this time of year. The fall in Delaware is a nice place to be. You know, it's really good. Baltimore, you know, in the summertime is a good place to be at Laurel. And they're racing there at really good quality. And so, you know, we start seeing all that. And then before you know it, Tampa Bay will be opening up. And, you know, we got Gulfstream year-round. Then Keeneland and Churchill will be opening up, you know, seeing what all they have. And there's just so many good things that are around. But the thing of it is there's a lot of horse-related things around all these tracks that you got to go to, you know, and that's what we're hoping for. But again, you know, I'm going to talk here real quick about some things that are on my plate. Keyword plate, get it? Plate. I started this thing that I was interested in, and I'd sit home and watch these cooking shows, you know, during the week, and kind of nice to rest and relax and get some ideas for dinners or lunches or what have you off these cooking shows like Chef Ramsay and Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay's a big horse guy. And so I got to thinking one day, I said, I'm gonna try something. I was working on a Breeders' Cup project. And I said, Triple Crown races, Triple Crown traditions, Triple Crown. Then I got to thinking about it. we got the four top recipes on there for the Kentucky Derby, like the hot brown, derby pie, the mint julep, that type of thing. So Churchill Downs, Pimlico, and Belmont all have specific traditions that they have, you know, at the track. Food, drink-wise, you know, everything. So I said, what I'm going to do is put together a program, call it the Triple Crown Tradition. And we're going to have a jockey, an owner, and a trainer from Churchill Downs, Pimlico, and Belmont. Churchill Downs will nominate their three people, and they will have a cook-off. That cook-off would be like April 30th is when it would be. And then and it's going to be a good one. That's April 30th of 2025. And so we'll get a winner there. And then 2 weeks later, we'll have a cook-off at Pimlico between a trainer, jockey, and an owner. And we'll get a winner there. And then 3 weeks later, we'll have the same thing at Belmont Park. So at the end of the Triple Crown, we're going to have three. We're going to have three winners. We don't know. It could be all jockeys. It could be a variety of you know, the jockey, trainer-owner combination. But we're going to have three individual winners. Then on the first Saturday in November of 2025, when the Breeders' Cup is at Del Mar, those three winners will compete at Del Mar for the Triple Crown Championship. And they'll have a cook-off, and we'll know if it's an owner, trainer, or jockey, you know, where they're from, what they're doing. And the great thing about it is they're going to be bringing their own recipes, you know, to the game. You know, a lot of the jockeys, you know, have got some real good recipes. A lot of the owners have a lot of old school recipes. And a lot of the trainers are used to going through a drive-through. So in the trainer section of the show, we might end up, you know, with a trainer that's got drive-through, which we wouldn't allow anyhow. But, you know, it's something new. It's something to look forward to because the cooking shows are always good. There's a lot of excitement to them. You know, so I like that. And so, that was the Triple Crown tradition. With the big show being at Breeders' Cup week. And so, again, it adds a variety of horse-related programs and things to do to all the traditions that we have in the Triple Crown and the racetracks. So, you know, we like that. We're going to invite a fan to send in their recipes. And, you know, who knows, maybe we'll have a fan's recipe to go against the Triple Crown champion. But, you know, we're still working on that and everything. But, again, it's about information in the horse business. And there's no better way to get out information about, like, say, Churchill, Pimlico, or Belmont than having a competition there and let everybody see that there's more to horse racing and to the horse shows than, you know, the racing and the shows themselves. We are people, and we do like to cook, and we do like to do things like that. You know, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then, of course, we've got the Olympics coming up now, which you come to us, and you'll be able to get the links all to the Olympics that started today. We got the FEI European Championships for Children, July 28th. That's coming up here, you know, in 2 days. We've got the FEI European Championship for Ponies that are coming up. It's a dressage meet. That's coming out of Belgium. Well, both of them are coming out of Belgium, and that's on July 27th, which is tomorrow with them. Then naturally, we got Chucker, our polo show. Got a lot of good things going on there. That's kind of exciting, you know, to see that. Then we got Flying Turns. Flying Turns is a program that I started with Steve Wolf many years ago. And this is an experiment to see how it would be received. And now this is before, you know, the internet was getting big, and cable, satellite TV, that type of thing. And we were kind of like in the old days of television. So the concept was there, but we were too far ahead of our time. That was the problem. And so we kind of put that on the shelf. And then I brought it back three years ago. I brought it back. And it's about harness racing. I have partnered up with harnesslink.com. They go all over the world. They've got articles and videos and stories from all over the world, which is exciting. And I'm proud to say that I was asked to be in the Florida Harness Association and Riders Association. And so I joined that this year. But they've got a lot of things in there. And we have a little story on Cody Rauschenberger. On there, and it's about how she is in the harness business. And so that, we'd like for you to take a look at that and see what that's all about. But, the whole thing is we need people to call in and ask questions. What would you like to see? It's a tough road to go, real tough road to go. But we want to know what you guys want. I know what I want to see, and I know what I'm putting up out there. And I think I kind of like covering the whole thing. But, I'd like to get other people's opinions and see what they like to know about it. We got the how they get there, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. That's coming up. I'm filming that now. And it's really going well. We've got a lot of the good shots that we wanted. We selected the owner and the trainer and the jockey that we want for what we're doing. So we're excited about that. It'll be an hour-long show, and it'll be on April the 30th in 2025 is when that show will air. But we just got so many good things going on here. We got, if you're really a gambler and you like gambling, we got Naira. It's got a good show that we send out every week, or every day, actually. It's called Talking Horses at Saratoga. So you call in, and there's people that will sit down and tell you who's in what post, who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's the best, who's the worst. And then we got that horse that I don't know where he came from. That's one of is the spoiler. We got the Florida horse. They explain the economic impact of the Florida horse in Florida. Really, really interesting to see, because even though it's about Florida horses and the impact it has, the same video could be done in every state, from Maryland, Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, New York, California. And then we got International Equine Network, the Rough Cut. Anna Seitz kind of takes us through a day and what she does for us out there at Kingland. Which is really interesting. She got a hard job. You not only got to know horses, you got to be able to read the owners and the trainers. And she does that very well. She should be on the big time network, that type of thing. And then the IEN Rough Cut, this is a collage, a slideshow like of horses. And what we do, and it shows them at the showgrounds, at the racetrack, at the harness track, at the sales. It just kind of gives you a brief look at what you're going to be seeing at IENTV.org. You'll be seeing that. Then, like I said, we got the UK Ascot Racing there. It's the King George Stakes is this weekend. That's one of the best races you'll see in all of Europe. It's really good, there. We got our feed company, Hallway Feeds, that shows you how the horses get fed. Then we got our equine transportation, how they fly, how they go on trucks. This was interesting. Brandon Mills, over here at Sunshine Meadows, had an artist day, artist at Sunshine Meadows. And they're really some good people there. And And it just goes to show you that how the horse world enters into the art world, and the art world enters into the horse world. And it's kind of amazing, you know, to see these things. And I've been into a lot of owners' homes, and you'll see a big portrait of them and their horse, you know, up on the wall. You know, so you get a good mix there. And then that just goes to show you how the horse industry blends in with the community, you know, from everything that we do here. But the art world kind of said it all, you know. It was really good, you know, to see that. And then the thing that I'm looking at tomorrow on our weekend schedule, we got the Alfred G. Vanderbilt Grade 1 and the Jim Dandy Stakes at Saratoga. And then we have the Bowling Green Stakes on Sunday at Saratoga. So you got a real good day of racing there at Saratoga. You know, if you can't get there, watch it on IEM, see what all they have. They've got a good crew there. I was really surprised at the amount of people that they've got there today. They got a good amount of people. And I was really excited to see that happen, because that's happening everywhere. Del Mar is the same thing. Del Mar's got a lot of people out there today, and Del Mar is really good. They got short fields, but it's all good. You know, that we have there. So trying to do that, trying to think of any other stuff that might get people out to. The gift shops at all the racetracks, they usually have a gift shop. And this time of year, it's kind of nice to go, like to Saratoga, and then Keeneland coming up, Churchill, Del Mar, Saratoga, and all the gift shops. They've got a lot of great things in there that make good presents, you know, from birthdays and anniversaries and weddings and that type of thing. A lot of high class material, you know, that you can get. They got cookbooks in each one of the stores there, gift shops. So let me tell you, if you like cooking, I suggest you get a cookbook from one of the tracks. They got all these old recipes in there, and all these old timers, you know, put in there, and how they got where they got on beans, cornbread and beans. That's all we ever had at the racetrack. Couldn't get any meat until you won a race, you know, that type of thing. And then every track pretty much has this, not this elaborate on it. For example, I got my book here not too long ago. It's called The 150 Years of the Kentucky Derby. And what I like about it is there's so much information in here about the Kentucky Derby. And you know, it's the history. It's the story of Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby. It's got a tremendous amount of photos in it. You know, they got the original clubhouse. It's a Louisville Jockey Club in there, you know, and it just kind of walks you through the floods that they had in the 30s, you know, that type of thing. And every track has one of these books. And it's my goal now, before I die, I want to have a book from every track. And this one's called 150 Years of the Kentucky Derby Through the Lens and Voices of the Courier Journal. So if you want to get a copy of it, you can call Churchill or you can call the Courier Journal in Louisville, and they'll tell you exactly what, you know, what it is and how much you need for it. And, you know, when you start going through here, it's amazing how times have changed. The crowds are big. But it's just amazing how the times have changed. You know, the clothes, the people, you know, what they do, how they do it. You know, I tell you, I just really do like it. And I was trying to sit here and see what's the most telltaling photo that's there through here. It's about... Oh, let's see here. How many pages have we got? It's 184 pages long, this book. And I tell you, when you go through, it's got every picture that you could possibly think of that could be taken at the racetrack. Of people, of foods, clothes. It tells you the history of the track. It gives you all kinds of statistics of the track. It's got the winners from at this stage and point was 1882 to 1906. And, I mean, it's just amazing how many, and they got all the pictures of them, too, from back in the day. And I was excited about that. You look at the track, you look at the starting gate, the crowds of people just standing shoulder to shoulder and all getting along. Nobody in fight, nobody arguing, nobody protesting. You know, it was a good thing. It's got it rain, sunshine. They got a little bit of everything here. They go through a lot of details telling you about the track. And, you know, they give you a lot of information about what all's going on. And, you know, they talk about the equipment on the horses. They talk about the starting gate. They talk about the rains that they've had there at the Derby. You know, you name it, they talk about it in this book. They talk about the jockeys. How much they weigh, you know, how they train, you know, it's excellent. You got the one thing that I really liked in it was about the garland of roses and the trophy. The trophy's what I really, you know, thought was interesting, you know, how they do it. Then they got the event itself. They talk about everything, from the boat races to the bed races to the parades to the balloon races. You know, they talk about it all. They got fashion, the fashion in there, the people that make the fashion statements. You know, and it hasn't changed that much over the years. You know, the colors got brighter and it was a little bit different, you know, what they have. And they talk about the derby hats that all the women wear, how that, you know, it's bad luck to wear the same derby hat, you know, to the Derby twice, you know, things like that. But those are things that they talk about. They talk about the celebrity parties that they have. You know, it's just amazing. But again, we go back to talking about why is this? Because it's a community celebration. You know, we in a horse business, we take what we do seriously. But in the end, we're all in the business of fun. At the end of the day, you know, I can say, oh, yeah, I'm in the horse business. But in reality, it's all about having fun. That's what it's all about, is having fun. And you don't have to be old to enjoy it. You don't have to be young to enjoy it. You just got to enjoy horses, you know, the things that they have. So, like I said, it's about information. Every track has all these books that are through or statistics, you know, from here. You go back and you look and you wonder how they made it through the times they did, still racing and still running through the wars, through the economic, you know, setbacks that they have. You know, it's just really something else. And what I like about it is you go through and you see all the Triple Crown winners, from Sir Barton, War Admiral, World Away, Citation, Secretariat, to Justify. And, you know, I started thinking about this today. When I went to work at One Star Farm, Kenny Trout and Elliot Wall and Bill Kastner, were putting together a farm. And Doug Coffin, Steve Coffin's brother, was there. And we were talking about goals that we were trying to hit. You know, what would be a good goal? Well, I threw my 2 cents in, and I said, hey, I said, my goal is to make the place look like $1 million. You know, I said, that would really, you know, be the thing to do. And so one of the owners came back and told me, he said, Scotty, he says, hey, that's very good. He said, we like that thought, but he says, our property, he said, Windstar right now, the property's worth $5 million. And I go, oh, boy, I said, that's a relief off of me. And he said, why? I said, if it's worth $5 million and I can make it look like $1 million, I said, my work's going to be cut out for me and easy. And, you know, they just started laughing about it. But, you know, the whole thing is about the show. You know, it's about how the farm looks, the horses look, the people look, how they act and what they do. You know, and their goal was to, and this was back in 1999, and their goal was to win a Kentucky Derby, you know, and just, you know, have good success on the racetrack. Well, lo and behold, in 2018, which was 18 years, you know, or 19 years when they started, what happened? Windstar wins the Kentucky Derby with Justify, trained by Bob Baffert, written by Mike Smith. And I said, man, oh, man, you know, when you set goals like that, that's a good thing to do. But to win a race, to set a goal to win a race, it's almost impossible because so many factors go into the race itself, you know, and weather and, you know, riders and, you know, the horses, that type of thing. So that was really good. But, yeah, they take, you know, all the Triple Crown runners here from Sir Barton to Justify. And of course, there's a couple more that have been added, you know, over the years. And you talk about some horse racing times. Back in the day, they had the old stopwatch, and you used the hand and the finger, and which was better to use, the thumb or the index finger, you know, that type of thing. And also, back in the day, all the horses were timed on a regular clock, you know, just a handheld clock. And then they got into the digital clocks around, I say, 2000, 2001. So Monarcos wins the Derby in 159-9. Now, Secretariat won the Derby in 159-4. So you're talking about, you know, electronic timing opposed to, you know, the handheld stuff. So who had the better time? We don't know. And we can just go back and kind of guesstimate at it, you know, what's happened. You know, but I'm telling you, folks, there's so many things that you can do in the horse business. And if you call us or email me at MSMEquine24@gmail, MSMEquine24@gmail, we'll get you all that information out that we can do there. But, you know, it's really interesting, the business is. Right now we got... they're at the post at Saratoga. It's an allowance, optional claiming $80,000, fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Purse is $120,000. That's good money. That's good money. And, you know, so the owners are making money. People are making money in the horse business. You just got to make sure that you don't overspend and, you know, be realistic about the whole nine yards, you know, with it. So. But like I said, information is the key to success. I don't care what business you're in or where you live in or, you know, what you're doing. It's all about information. And if you can get that done, you know, then you got it made. And that's what we're doing here in International Equine Network. Next week, we're going to have video. You're going to get to see me in person, live on TV. We're going to do that for sure next week. And I'm going to start talking about some of the people that I'm working with and how it all came about. We're going to go through next week and talk about the birth of International Equine Network. And you're going to see, you know, how long it's taken. You're going to see why I put the things that I did together. And you're going to see how that as a team of all horses, all breeds, all countries, all disciplines came together. And it's going to really be amazing when you see it. The people that we have, like the aftercare programs that are out there, you know, you'll see that how they go from racing one day to showing, you know, the next day. You know, all the things that go into it. We're going to talk about HISA as a governing body that controls and watches over our industry. And for a long time, they had rules and regulations that were all in the books, you know, and everybody knew, I know what they are, you know, we know what to do. You know, it just became stale, what they call stale. So then we got HISA. And HISA came in, and not only do they look at the rules and implement the rules and create the rules, but they help the trainers and the owners of all breeds in all countries and all states. They help them understand what they can and can't do. You know, and that's really given a lot of people problems because they go, oh, well, you know, 30 years ago. Well, it's not 30 years ago. You know, it's today. And HISA has done very well with it. In fact, when Santa Anita had all their breakdowns and horses being, you know, destroyed because of breaking legs and all kinds of different things back there, I mean, it was horrible. It's probably one of the worst things that we ever had, breakdowns that we ever had in the horse business, any one track. And so that was in Santa Anita. Well, after HISA got involved and they started implementing the rules and making sure everybody was following the rules and regulations, they went down to less than 5% of the horses being hurt on the track. Less than 5%. They went from a staggering, you know, like 14%, you know, the year before to what they were doing now. And again, it all goes back to information. The more information that HISA got out to the trainers and owners, the better racing got. The better, you know, it was all around for everybody. And it's like anything we do. If we want the to get the audience in there, you got to be realistic about it. And when you're realistic about the industry, it's about the distribution. Well, what do you want to do? You want to get them into the stands? Well, sure. More people we get in the stands, better off we are. Okay, what about the people that can't get into the stands? Well, then you want to have them on, you know, podcasts. You want to have them on radio. You want to have them on TV. So now you got, again, keyword, distribution of information. So now you got radio, TV, you got iTunes, you got, you know, the whole nine yards. You can go to the track personally. You can go to the library. You can read about all these things, go onto the internet online and read about all these things. But it's all centers around the information. And I'll tell you, I'm not that old yet, but I do know one thing. The key to success in anything that you do in life is information. If you want to lead a good life, read the Bible. If you want to do good in your neighborhood, keep your yard clean. You know, meet your neighbors, see how they feel. It's all about information, my friend. And no matter what you do, you got to get that information, and you're going to get it right here on the International Equine Network every Friday at 2 o'clock. So tune in next Friday and call in and ask for some information. I'll give you some information and everything. So this is Scott Miller. Looking forward to seeing you next week on TV at BBS Radio and TV.com.